Hey guys, welcome to Vibe with Steph the podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day, morning, evening, whatever part of your day you're on. And this is a second episode after the relaunch. Today I want to welcome a very special person who's actually my first guest on my podcast. This is Ileana Reyes, now known as the Soul Mommy. And yes, I have no idea where she is today. Where are you now, Ileana?
I am currently in Colombia, in Bogota.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Always traveling. I love it. My favorite gypsy. How's everything been? I mean, I was just looking at our recording. The last time we recorded was March of 2019. So it's about 3 years.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. What's changed? I mean, a lot's changed. A whole lot's changed.
Oh my gosh. First of all, thank you for having me on your delicious podcast. I love to see you. Love to see you grow. And oh, people ain't ready for the vibes you bring in, girl. They ain't ready. They don't even know.
I'm here for it. Love it.
No. I've seen you vibing for the last 10 years. And I'm like, there she is. There she is. Ooh, that soul is big. That soul is big.
Yes.
Growing. Expanding. Ooh.
Found myself. I'm myself. Wherever myself was, I found it.
Oh, thank God for that. Yeah, no, it's been 3 years since the last time we podcasted together. And at that time, I was living in Vietnam and living the life, enjoying myself, focusing on business, focusing on self-growth, my spirit, all the things. And after that, I went back to the States in 2020, right before the pandemic became a global thing.
Oh God, a damn pandemic, Lord.
Yeah, I had no idea. I kind of just went to the States because I wanted to watch my nephew be born around February.
And you're an auntie now.
I'm an auntie, honey. Nobody told me it was this good to be an auntie.
Oh, I became an auntie too, October 2020. Yeah, so now we're aunties.
We are aunties. Oh my gosh, I literally was born for that role. Like, yay, I'm an auntie.
I could definitely see that.
I love it. And I got back to the States thinking, okay, you know, I'm going to be there 3 to 4 months, do the aunt thing, be a daughter again, be a sister. And then, you know, by then I'll know where in the world I want to build my next home base. Because I knew I didn't want to go back to Asia as much as I loved it. I didn't want to be so far away from family. But girl, those 4 months became a year and 10 months in the States. And I'm like, hello, soul. Have you abandoned me? Because this is not where I belong.
You know, this is not where you're supposed to be planted, basically.
But you know what? I wasn't mad about it. I wasn't mad that the world was shut off because I had been traveling, as you know. I had been traveling for so much in the last 7-8 years that actually being still again and kind of just like being still felt good. It almost felt like, this is how it feels like, it almost felt like prior to 2020, the 7 years before that were so rich in flavor. Imagine like food, you're eating all these sazones and all these flavors, and then my time in Jersey was like a bowl of plain rice.
Yes, unseasoned, you know, unflavored.
Sometimes it's not bad. Like sometimes you'd be craving like some bland shit because you're like, damn, life has been so good. I need to like counter it with like this plain arrocito.
Yeah, like when you're sick and they taste toast, like toast, bread, rice, right? All of those things.
That's how my time in Jersey felt. But now we out here getting new sazones, honey.
Oh my God, right? You know what, Ileana, honestly, like when you say, you know, the world shut down, I don't know if I wrote about this. I maybe almost thought I was going to record something about it, but I think I think everybody needed a shutdown and a pause. Like it was, I mean, the earth needed it. I mean, we saw like on the news, like animals, like from wherever were just roaming in the city. Yes. It's like, you know, the earth was kind of like just getting itself back together. And it like, we really needed a pause. I mean, as much as kind of, I want to say traumatic, but you know, it was definitely like a shocker to everybody. Mm-hmm. It was perfect time for everybody just to kind of be like, yeah, we know you're working. Like, you know, we know you're working. These kids are at school. It was just kind of like everybody needed that that pause.
Collective. Yeah, we needed that collective pause, honestly, collective for the sake of our soul.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and you always, you know, that's something you just do. That's something you've been doing. But I think as a collective, it was so important. People started focusing on their mental health. People were able to spend time with their families. Mm-hmm. People were learning new things, from cooking to just, you know, because they were bored, finding things that they could do, you know, yeah. Like that. I mean, it was definitely like a learning curve. But I think after a few months, like, we all really got the hang of it, because jobs were closed, clubs were closed. You couldn't even do that. You couldn't go outside. So I think it was definitely well needed. And now we're going through those. Yeah, we're going through those. What is it called? Because that happened. Now we're in the next stage of it, where we're saying the great resignation. Like, people are all leaving their jobs, and it's like, you know, what people want to say, it's maybe out of being lazy. I mean, maybe we do have that small portion of people who actually don't want to work, but then we have other a lot of people that were like, they found their worth, and they're like,
it's more than that. Yeah, it's more than laziness. I think this last 2 years, I acknowledge the shadow, right? It was shitty. There was a lot of deaths. I had a lot of deaths in my family and in my circle. Mm-hmm. You know, depression went up, anxiety went up. There's a lot of things that happened in the dark, for sure. So I do want to acknowledge that. But on the flip side, right? Because every shadow has its pieces of light. On the flip side, I do think that was a necessary collective death, almost, that we went through.
Yes,
collectively, we went through a dark night of the soul.
Yes.
And we were able to face ourselves, face different parts of ourselves, remember things within ourselves that maybe we had forgotten, reconnect with passions, and awaken to the realities of this world, to what's happening in other parts of the world, to what's happening and how it affects us, how we're not just in this bubble, like, oh yeah, I'm living this life by myself. Like, no, what happens over there affects me as a soul, as a human, you know, because we're all connected. And so I do think that there was a gift
from the past
2 years, and the gift is a deeper awareness, a deeper desire to be alive, to explore, a deeper desire to see change right now. Oh my goodness. Like, I think right now people are realizing that there's different ways of working, because the ways that we're working is changing. The ways that we're making money is changing. The ways that we can express ourselves is changing. And there's a bit of a, how do you say, there's a bit of a gangster energy almost within people, where people ain't gonna tolerate just anything.
It's bold, being bolder.
It's a bold energy. People aren't just gonna sit here and be like, la la la, let me, you know, believe everything I read and take it in. People now are a bit like, the warrior spirit within people's soul, I feel, has been activated. So personally, I think this year is gonna be amazing, and I'm very curious to see how it unfolds. But we're definitely all re-emerging.
You know what's the biggest thing for me, and, you know, looking back in the last couple of years, was more like this COVID, or whatever, this pandemic or whatever was going on, it didn't discriminate, you know, it didn't discriminate at all. It didn't matter if you were young, old, rich, poor, you know, people, you know, unfortunately, you know, we've had people close to us, no matter their age, they got sick, they, you know, people passed away, and it didn't matter. It really, like, it, you know, from people all the way from the top, from politicians, you know, these money makers, down to the person next door, people were catching this thing. And, you know, regardless of how we think it got here and all that, you know, all the fun controversy, you know, it was not discriminating against anybody. You know, and people, I think also I don't want to say it gave us an equal playing field, but in a sense it did, where it's like, okay, now nobody's, like, not to say nobody's making money, but okay, now we're all struggling together.
Yes.
You know, we're all struggling. We're all, you know, maybe some people got to struggle in nice bigger houses, you know, like these big celebrities. Maybe you just, you know, you had a lot of space. You have more things to do, and somebody else was struggling in their small apartment. But regardless, exactly. regardless, it's like we all were on this level playing field of like money wasn't coming in like it was before, you know. And at the same time, you know, I mean, you know what, I'm gonna say this, and I know it's on a podcast, I think it was for the most part, when people were getting, let's say, like the stimulus and this extra money from like unemployment and all this stuff, yeah, on one hand, it did kind of make people way comfortable and people didn't spend it correctly and all that stuff, right? And that's not the majority. That's definitely not the majority. Yeah. But, you know, we can't hold that small population of people to, you know, the whole group. But I think something that I think was another, I think another blessing was people were finally not struggling financially, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, because one, we had, you know, like these extra unemployment benefits, because it was, nobody was working, a whole lot of people weren't working, and then you got these, you know, extra money on top of it. You know, it's affecting us now, but that's a whole nother story. But you know, people were able to pay bills easier, pay their rent easier, alongside with, you know, obviously, you know, people were being forgiven for certain debts, and you know, companies were allowing people to forgive their payments and things like that. But for the most part, I know, and I've read, and even personally experiencing it, people were not struggling with paying these bills, you know, like, oh my god, the light bill, oh my god, this bill. And they've had this extra money that people for once in their lives were able to be like, I'm not struggling, or I've got food in my fridge, or I've got, you know. So it's kind of like people were able to actually enjoy, you know, just
yes,
life, you know.
It's, and in some places, yeah, right? And, so it, and, it almost, yeah, it almost gave us a sense of collective care, which has been missing again in the States and different parts of the world. It almost reminded us, like, wait a minute, we were born for this, and collectively caring for each other is important. Obviously, caring for yourself, and we're going to talk about that today and turning on, is key. But then the next level of that is like, how can we collectively care? How can we make sure that people are good, that people, you know, are getting access to the food that they need, that they're getting just grace for not having, you know, not paying things on time. So it kind of did spark that.
Yeah, it's a
just the remembrance of how important that
is. Care. And I think also like an understanding also, you know, because on one hand, and you know, I'll close this part of this, you know, the episode with this, but on one hand, you had people who, yeah, let's say they, you know, they were making more money than they were when they were working pre-pandemic, you know, and that's a blessing. But then you also had the other side, where it was people who were making so much more money, and they had so much more, that now, like, these unemployment benefits, these stimulus packages, that was covering barely anything, you know, because they were making so much money before, you know. So it's kind of was like, although this was so much extra, so much surplus for somebody else, it wasn't something, you know, it was barely covering anything for anybody else before, you know. But that also comes to what you said, people had you said this collective care, or I would say a better understanding, you know, like a better understanding of, you know, oh, this is what people go, maybe they didn't think immediately this is what people go through, but more so, you know, you kind of have to really stop and think, like, wait, we basically, none of us, I think now and during and, you know, in the beginning of this, we really had to think and tell ourselves that I cannot live the way I was living my life before this.
No, there's no going back to normal.
Yeah, whatever normal is, you know, this whole quote unquote new normal, whatever normal is or was, like, there's really, no matter what part of the world you are from, where you're from, or what your demographic is, how much money you're making, you really can't go back to life the way it was before.
No.
And I definitely, as you said, like, it definitely is, starts first with the way we care for ourselves, because pandemic time, we were stuck with ourselves. Like, you were stuck with yourself, your house, with you, with yourself, you know. And you know, now before I actually go into you know, caring for yourself and going into that topic, let's just go to a quick commercial break. I got to do this little sponsor thing. I'm getting used to this. We're going to go to a commercial, and we're just going to come right back, and we're going to jump right into it, Ileana. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All righty. And we're back. I'm getting used to it. All right, Ileana. So where do we begin? I mean, we already know we've gone through this collective care, collective soul change, collective shift. And as I said before, you know, it definitely starts with ourselves. And I know in our last episode, if you guys haven't heard it, Turning Yourself On with Ileana, go back to that episode. Where do we go from here?
I think the first step is acknowledging what we've been through. What has these last 2 years, you know, what did it mean to me? Asking ourselves that. There's a bit of grief in the air. You know, have I allowed myself to grieve? You know, I know that these last 2 years, and I know I'm not the only one that feels it, because I've spoken to different people, these last 2 years, especially last year, 2021, was a year of many deaths. Death, internal deaths. We're talking about internal death.
Yes,
death,
we're talking death. About ourselves. People.
I think I'm this person. People. Nope, I'm not that person anymore. I want to do that. Wow, I'm not into that anymore. And so now we're kind of reemerging from this womb space, from the dark, from everything that's been going through. And we're kind of feeling like babies almost. We're in a rebirthing stage, collectively. Yes. So it's important for us to ask ourselves, what does this rebirth look like to me? Am I ready to rebirth and move forward and start figuring out the new me, what I like, what I don't like, what my values are? Or is there something that I still haven't acknowledged from these last two dark years? You know, is there something that I still haven't grieved through? I think that's important. Grief just keeps coming back.
Yes.
A lot of us haven't given ourselves the space to grieve, to really say, oh, that sucks. Like, to grieve the situation, to grieve the world, but most importantly, to grieve the old parts of ourselves that no longer want to be alive.
Right.
And I'm talking on a soul level. I'm not talking, you know, physical. It might translate into the physical. I know I had a lot of moments, and I've been a lover of life for a long time. I've loved life. I've never really been suicidal or contemplated, you know, death and any of that. Like, I've always felt rich in life. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I haven't felt depressed or anxious or sad, but honey, with the intensity of what was in the air last year and all of these internal deaths, there was a point where I started asking myself, what's up, spirit? Like, do I really need to keep doing this? Like, I love my life. Don't get me wrong. I love you. I love people. I love spirit. But what's up, bro? Come on. Like, what's the point of continuing to leave? And that question was coming from a deep part of my soul that was still feeling this grief. And I couldn't identify, is this grief my own? Is this grief because of what I'm seeing, what's happening in the world? Is this grief, you know, am I really now being called to implement and integrate everything I've lived and experienced and be this new person? Does that mean I really have to let go of the old Ileana? And there's a grief to that, right? There's this one person, I don't know where I read this, it's not mine, but I'm gonna regurgitate it in the way that I understood it. I remember reading a long time ago the definition of grief, and someone said, you know, grief is love with nowhere to go. Grief is love with nowhere to go. And that's a perspective we can entertain, right? So here we are, we're ready to reemerge from the dark as a collective, as an individual. Are we ready to do that? Or is there still grief? Is there still parts in us that needs to be acknowledged? Is there still tears in us that need to be cried? Is there still anger inside of us because of the situation, because of the changes. You know, it's okay to feel whatever you feel, but can you sit down with yourself and say, what needs my attention before I move forward and rebirth and start rebuilding my life? What needs a bit of my attention? And I think that's a good place for all of us to start, just to take a minute and kind of like, you know, acknowledge what you went through, acknowledge what you experienced, acknowledge, you know, the things that made you angry, the things that made you anxious, the things, all of those things, and just let it out, scream it out, fight it out, like,
yes, and you can, and you know what I think, and you know, I definitely don't want to, no, I don't want to cut you off, but I think when you say things like grief, right, I mean, for me, and I think I've only written about this, grief for me, I always had a negative connotation, right? Because grief is loss. Grief is negative, right? In my head, this is how I always thought. Grief is negative. But, you know, with every positive emotion, there's negative emotions, right? And we have to feel them, I don't want to say the same, but we have to feel them all, right? We have to feel happiness, joy, love, all of these things, but we also have to feel the grief and sadness and all those other things. So I feel also, I put a question up on my Instagram not too long ago, and I said, you know, do you think there's a such thing as toxic positivity? Mm-hmm. And when I wrote that, I didn't mean to say positivity is toxic, because obviously it's not, but it comes to a point where sometimes, like, we just, you know, especially now, everybody, let's be positive, and you know, it's great, that's how we should be, right? But there's so much of this let's be positive all the time, it makes us feel like something's wrong with us if we're down, or if we're, like you said, grieving, you know. So, or like, oh, if we want to acknowledge you know, things that are quote unquote wrong with, let's say something that's wrong, or something you don't like, or something that makes you feel bad. Like, acknowledging these things doesn't necessarily mean we're being like negative. It's just, it's part of the growth process, right? And something I've shared with, you know, my listeners and friends of mine, like, I've growing up, and you know, I'm blessed for the way I grew up, you know, but something that I feel like I could have learned to do better was how to feel those negative emotions, as we say, let's say negative for lack of, you know, a better word, but those negative emotions. So I never even really learned how to process grief, like an actual loss, like a real death. I never learned how to process those, like, that type of emotion. I didn't learn how to process really like sadness or depression, because it was more like, I'm feeling this, let me just change my mind, I'm gonna be positive, you know. So what happens with that is, like, we never really do get to sit down with ourselves and say, okay, this is what makes me feel bad, this is what makes me feel sad, and I'm gonna process it, I'm gonna know what this feels like, and I'm gonna feel it. And now that I know, like, this is what I don't like, you know, I don't like to feel like I'm stuck. I don't like to feel like I don't know what I don't like this. And it's not so much that we're dwelling on it, you know, I think that is definitely the problem, where we get that, you know, that negative emotion, and we sit with it and we dwell with it. We sleep with it at night. We just walk with it all day. But when we learned how to, you know, learn how to be in that grieving process, like you said, I think it helps us to emerge a little, you know, a little better, because now, you know, I've grieved maybe not physical losses, but I've learned to grieve, you know, something like, you know, I got divorced, she got legally divorced, and that was a grieving process, it wasn't so much grieving the person, right? It wasn't so much that, it was just grieving, like, the process, those years, like, oh my god, like, you know, am I really just finally letting go, you know, that process, it's heavy, you know. But I had to learn to feel it, like, right, like, I'm not a bad person, I had to feel it, I had to process it, and I was able to move forward, you know. So I think, you know, you saying that, you know, it's a grief that we all have to sit down and be with ourselves, and it's okay. It's part of you know, growth, what do they say? Diamonds are pressured, right? They're that's how they get that. And I think that's so important. That's so important. Cause like even you said, you being who you are, this soul mommy.
Yeah.
You know, you've had to share that. You said that grieving process. Do you think grief is necessary for growth?
I think every emotion is necessary for growth, because it's not only about growth, it's about the human experience. And the human experience includes a spectrum of all emotions and all sensations. And they're here as messengers. They come to humble us. They come to communicate with us. You know, I work a lot with sadness, for example. You know, I'm an uplifter. I'm an ambassador for joy and love. I work, you know, I'm grounded in joy. Joy is my thing. But my turn on for joy and my turn on for love, as bright as they are, they're only that bright because of how deep my sadness and sorrow have been. Okay, you catch that? They both go hand in hand. So when we talk about toxic positivity, the reason positivity would be toxic is if it ignores the spectrum of the human experience. It's like saying, oh my God, I'm just going to color life with the color yellow. Here we go with the crayons, right? I'm just going to color life with the color yellow. Yellow, yellow, yellow. Yellow's beautiful. Yellow's bright. Yeah, it is. But sometimes you want to fucking color in black and brown and blue, and you want some dark fucking tones there.
Exactly. Yes.
That makes the picture as well. So to live ignoring the dark tones of life and only focusing on the bright is dumb, and it's not a reality of what it means to be a human. You know, when sadness comes into your life, my invitation, whether it's sadness, depression, anger, instead of, you know, trying to ignore it and getting yourself back to a state of feeling good, which is ultimately the goal, but before doing that is saying, hey, what's up, sadness? What you got to say to me today?
Girl, you know what this reminds me of? I don't know if you've seen it. Just please tell me you've seen
Inside
it.
Out?
Oh my God.
My favorite movie. And sadness, of course, is my favorite character.
I'm like, why is this girl? I see. Let me tell you, that is probably one of my favorite animated movies, because it's exactly that. When I tell you, I cried watching that movie. I was
girl,
like, oh my God,
girl,
it's true.
Pixar really did it there. This is not even an ad for them.
Everything you're saying is just reminding me of you know, just joy. You know, she's all woo, and then sadness just kind of moping.
You see how joy is the conductor and the boss, but she still needs to co-live with anger, with sadness, with disgust. And those are just a few that are there. Obviously, there's grief, there's lust. So if you're listening to this episode and you're like, what the heck? I love this topic. I want to know more. And if you have not watched the movie Inside Out,
you got to watch it.
Please go watch it, because it will give you a basic knowledge and understanding of just like the human experience and the different emotions that we get to play with, and how they're not our enemies. They're here conducting our human vessel ship.
right. And it's just a matter of how we manage them, right? We just have to, we figure out how we manage them. And me at, you know, now, gosh, we're in our mid-30s. Girl, we were in our mid-20s when we met.
Girl.
we're in our mid-30s. Got my freak. I've got my teenagers almost. I got another one that's a teenager. Girl. And, you know, something as the new aunties and the uncles, right, with the Theos and the Thetis, like, it's, I almost feel like it's our responsibility to teach these little, these Gen Zers, these, as they call them, or these new kids on the block, like, it's okay to feel the way you feel, right?
To feel, period. To feel.
Because, girl, I was never, I don't want to say I was never allowed, right? But, it was so hard for me to tell my parents if I felt down, if, you know, down and all this stuff. My dad was always a big ball of positivity, right? Woo, we're positive. And that was great. And then being in church, you know, just pray that away. And, you know,
The devil is trying to attack you. No,
yeah, the devil's trying to attack you. You're depressed. You're sad. You know, it's like, no. I try to teach my kids that it's okay if you're feeling sad. It's okay. That you sit in that. I want you to feel that. And then we're going to work our way out of that, right? So we can not dwell in that. And if you're angry, right? I tell my kids all the time, you angry, you pissed off. If you pissed off at me, let's talk about it, right? Let's talk about it. You're not going to disrespect me, but let's talk about it, because there's also a way to handle that conflict, right? There's a way that if you're upset, you can't just tell everybody to fuck off, right? I mean, you can, but like, we have to find healthy ways to manage these other emotions, right? And I try to tell my kids that, because I think our generation specifically, we are the ones who are now, we're talking about shit, right? We're like, hey, look, I know we grew up like this, and I know our parents and their parents, our grandparents, you know, they this is the way they live, right? We don't talk about those things. Everything's under the rug. If you're feeling that way, there's no such thing as depression. What is this, you know? But, you know, thankfully our generation is, you know, we're talking about it. And I mean, we're the ones that are kind of, we went through it, and we're trying to, and we're getting out of it, and we're learning, and we're trying to teach others how to do the same. But now we have to teach our, you know, our nieces, our nephews, like you said, our kids, you know, how to, and we're never going to get it 100%. I mean, we don't even have it 100%. I'm sure there's times where you're just like, oh, this is heavy on me. We can't really, you know, but it's practice.
It's helping them decondition, because if you look at kids and you observe kids, they're already masters. They're so authentic in their expression. If they're mad, they're gonna scream. If they're sad or whatever, they're gonna cry. They express their emotions easily. They live with them easily, and then they're conditioned to not feel, to not express, to not dwell, and to, you know, put on a front of like, oh, I'm, you know, this happy dappy person. And then we need to decondition them and teach them like, no, go back to how you were and feeling authentic.
Do you think, and as when you say condition, I mean, I understand what you're saying, because, you know, people around us, but do you think those things also just happen because of experiences, either they're like said traumatic, right?
Yes, of course.
Some people, some people, and I think I've experienced it myself, where something so traumatic has happened, and it goes so far back in your mind, you almost forget that it even happened, and then you're living in this certain way of thinking, and then you really never know why, until you maybe go to therapy and you're like, oh my god, girl, the reason why I think this is because I was five.
For sure, our experiences play a role. So when I say we're conditioned, I don't just mean by our environment or what we're consuming through the media. For sure, our experiences are number one. If we experience some form of trauma, or we experience something that really breaks our heart or really shakes our soul, those experiences leave an imprint in our subconscious mind that then create a program, you know, oh, I'm never gonna, you know, trust another man. I'm never gonna open up myself to a woman. I'm never this, I'm never that. It starts with a script, a line that then becomes a whole movie in our subconscious mind that we just keep playing out, you know, to make it a reality. So it's a lot of work, and this is why this work is important, this work of being in harmony with your spirit, of having a relationship with yourself, with your soul. And emotions are the direct messengers of your soul. Like, what if emotions,
you have all these little blurbs I'm like writing down.
they are, because if we think about it, you know, regardless of what beliefs you have, you know, if you're in a religion, like, cool to you, may it serve whatever it serves in your process. And Steph and I have a whole journey. We were in church and we were Christian and we did all the things, and that served our evolution then, and now we're here, right? But if I can invite all of us to look at the perspective of, like, you know, we are a soul. I am a soul. You are a soul. We all come from the same ocean of souls, from the same substance. Call it God, call it universe, call it infinite intelligence, call it universal love, whatever makes you happy. Mm-hmm. We are a soul, and we are in this body having this human experience. And so as a soul, our souls are sending us messages every single day. Our soul is sending us messages as a way of almost guiding our human self through the best version of itself. So our soul is almost like sitting on a throne. All right. So imagine your soul sitting on a throne, watching your human, Steph, watching your human, me, watching your human live and figure out this life through the senses, and saying, all right, I know how you're meant to grow and expand in this world. I know your mission. I know what you're here to imprint the world with. I'm gonna guide you to it. But you gotta come and talk to me.
Right.
You gotta come meet me halfway, boo. You got, whether it's through meditation, whether it's through silence, whether it's through journaling, like, and even if you don't meet me halfway, I'ma send you some signs. So boop, here comes sadness. Oh, why am I sad? Well, maybe your soul's trying to direct you somewhere. Here comes anger. Why am I angry? Well, maybe your soul's trying to direct you somewhere. And there's a bunch of signs from our own emotions, from our own behavior, from our own desires. What are we craving? That's another topic. You know, I always say desires are the whispers of our soul. It's our soul saying, hey, come this way. Right? Like if you think about the desires that you've had recently, maybe you want to travel and you've had this like deep desire to travel. You have this deep desire to start painting. Those desires are not random, right? They're your soul saying, come this way.
Yes.
Start painting. Start podcasting. Start writing more. And you don't know why at the moment that desire is that. But then you start doing it, and then your soul has more messages for you.
Girl, yes, this podcast, right? I was telling you, it's just flowing. It's just happening. I have content all the way till the end of March. It's just, You were born for this.
Yes. You have had this inkling for a long time. Your soul, for whatever reason, has a saying, girl talk. It is one of your gifts to be able to communicate and to connect.
But timing is also a part.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
We're not always ready. Like, I mean, when I launched this podcast, like I said, 3 years ago, it was great, right? It was listeners were listening and all that good stuff. But now I'm at this, you know, and I did take a pause. I took this whole hiatus, and then a couple years passed. I tried to venture on doing a bunch of things, and this has just been on my spirit. And I'm just like, okay, fine. And so much to the point of, you know, well, I want to plan everything. I want to write down my notes. I want to do everything all nice. And I just I have notes for all these episodes, and this one day, it was a snow day, I just kind of took my stuff and I started recording, and the love and support that I got, I'm like, holy crap,
girl,
how it just came out of nowhere. And you were just like, if it's the time, it's the time, it doesn't matter.
So it's the time, right? Because look at how you had this desire 3 years ago. You started it, right? You took outward action for this inward calling, right? But you still were not in the inward place that you needed to be to really fucking own this gift of yours. You know what
there
I mean?
You go. Yes,
like,
that,
your
yes.
soul wasn't fully sitting on its throne because you were, you know, you went through the divorce. You went through all the things that only you know you went through. You had to grieve. You had to make space for this right now. And now that you are implementing this desire, and I want everyone to hear this, because if you get anything from the soul mommy, please get this.
Listen to the soul mommy.
I need everybody to get this, right? Our desires are so, so, so important. And this is probably what I love the most about being a human and having this human experience, but knowing I'm a soul, it's like, let's use Steph as an example, right? Here she is 3 years later, finally owning this gift of hers and going forth with this desire that the soul has put in her. And now imagine all the doors that this one action of listening to this one desire is going to open. Because here we are having a conversation, right? This is all you. This is all you, your desire, the platform you're building. We're having a conversation. We have no idea how this conversation is blessing whoever it's blessing right now.
Right.
We have no idea how this conversation is sparking something in the souls of other people listening. In other words, we have no idea the medicine that our desire has for other people, right?
When
decide to say yes to the desire of our souls, we have no idea the ripple effect that's starting. Right now, somebody's listening to this and they're getting turned on and they're saying, you know what? I'm gonna fucking write my book. It's time.
Write the book.
You know what? I'm gonna start my business. It's time. And by you taking that one action that your soul's calling you, honey, it's not only for you. It's meant to be medicine for other people. It's meant to spark remembrance for other people. And this is why we need to commune with our spirit, to be in relationship with our spirit, so that we can hear these desires and open up those doors for ourselves and for the world.
Yes, where can oh, I love that. Girl, you gave me chills. I'm like, ooh, I got the goose pimples. I was like, yes, preach, girl, yes. Amen. Don't the towel. That, because at the end of it all, like, we're connected. We're connected from the beginning of this episode when we started, how we said the pandemic, it's and the connection, the collective, you know, like all of these words. And I know that some of one reason why you and I have always kind of just connected, even if we then, you know, even if we've gone time without talking to each other, because talking to each other is because we really love people, right?
I mean,
I love people. People can be assholes. People can be, you know, do some evil, mean, nasty things. People can do a beautiful things, you know. But I think as a whole, right? We love people. We really, really do, right? We really do. We bask in people's successes and when they find who they are, new experiences.
We're uplifters, honey. We're uplifters and we're connectors.
Yeah, it's a thing. I mean, but I know some people are just that it's not their thing. But at the end of the day, for the people who are connected to other people who are not, we're still connected.
and we're not all meant to be the same, you know?
Right.
And I think this is where we're moving collectively. Even if for those of you that are astrology heads, even on a cosmic level, if you follow astrology and the language of the stars and what they're doing, we're moving out of the Piscean age and into this Aquarian age, which is all about individuality, which is all about following our unconventional adventure. Not everyone's meant to be an uplifter or a connector. Some people are builders, some people are creators, some people are processors, some people are organizers. Like it's hard now when you look at the world of Instagram and everybody's trying to be the same and talk the same language, and it's so fucking boring. I don't know if anybody else has felt,
oh my god, like, everyone wants to be an influencer. I'm like, shut up bro
like stop. Like, if you're not meant, can you even influence your dog to like pee on the wheelie pad? If you're not, then you're not a fucking influencer. I don't care what you like.
Everyone's an influencer.
No,
forget about everybody looks the same.
The world needs our individuality. Again, the world needs our individuality. We're not all meant to do the same thing. We might have the same message, and I do believe that God calls different people to preach the same message, because we need to hear the same thing in different ways from different people for it to actually register, right?
Like, yes.
But again, it's still different. Like, if you're meant to preach connection to the world, and so am I, the way you do it and the way I do it is going to be so different, because we're different expressions. But the point is to embrace that difference so that people get the medicine of connection.
Yeah, hello? Yes. Absolutely. You know what? That's one of the reasons why I love networking events, right? It's a thing. Like, I love them. I probably would go to one every week if I could, right? I love them because of that, what you're saying. Like, we can meet so many different people in the same field, right? Or not. And we can connect with somebody who does the same exact job as somebody else, and something just brings you to that one person, right? It's almost like when you go buy something, there's everyone's in there trying to sell you something, but there's one thing that connects you to somebody who's actually gonna, you know, do that sale, because there's something about them. You're like, I don't know, I like the way they looked at me, I like the way they said this, or I like the way I even like the way they look, who knows, you know. But like you said, we're all here, and we may all have a message, but we're not delivering it the same way, you know. Because then that's weird, because then it's like, what are we doing if everybody's the same? What are we really doing?
It just would not be life. It's just the same with emotions.
Oh my god, it's like, girls, that's how I feel about everybody aside from like soulfully, spiritually. Like, I am so tired, and let me go on my rant for like 30 whole seconds.
Go girl. Let it out.
I am so tired of everybody. Everybody looks the same and everybody dresses the same. Let me tell you how much that grinds my gears, girl. I'm like, do we like, and no offense to her, like, because you know, she's wonderful in her own self, but like, what's with the whole everyone looks like the Kardashians, right? For example, everyone's got the same look, everyone's got the dark hair, everyone's got the lips the same, the makeup the same, everyone. Like, I go out sometimes and I'm like, all the girls look the same. It drives me nuts. I'm like, why does everyone look the same? You know, and yes, we know it's because of the media, right? The media, everyone wants to look to see. I'm almost like, does everyone have the same? Is there a template? Like, is there a template for like when women get plastic surgery? I mean, hey, look, I'm all for plastic surgery. Do what you gotta do, girl. I'm never gonna be not for it, right? But then I'm like, does everyone do this plastic surgery to look like this, like the other girl? Because everyone looks the same. It drives batshit crazy, Eliana. It's not to say the surgery, because like I said, I don't got anything against, but I'm like, do we gotta all look the same? And it's something that, I mean, do whatever you want, right? Because if you want to look like such and such, that's fine. Do what makes you happy, sis, right? But then I'm like, I think when I go out, right, I'll go out with my people. It's like, they remember me, right? And I'm like, well, okay, wow. And they go, because you don't look like everybody else. I'm like, is it because I'm bald-headed? Like, bald-headed and blonde is always like, but they say it too. Everybody, people just look the same, right? And it's not to generalize, because, you know, some of us, we do have, we all got a doppelganger somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like people, you know, we go to these places where there's so many people, and it's just like, from the clothing, I mean, it's one thing for people to dress similar, right? It's the times, it's the area we're in, right? But then I'm like, do we all have the same face? Do we all have to look the same? Like, we all, it just, if, and then it reminds me, I'm like, if we're all looking the same outside, we're trying to look like in the inside, right? Like, are we all trying to match that too? Like, is anybody really their, you know, whoever they are? And let me tell you, it's a reason why, and I love to talk about this, man. I do not care. It's the reason why I love Bad Bunny so much. Let me tell you.
Tell me, girl.
I love him so much because, one, he doesn't care about if he looks like X and such or such. Like, that's one thing. But also, like, he's a Pisces. We love it.
Bless the Lord for Pisces, man.
Oh, my God, man. Jesus, I love him.
Oh, a moment of silence for all Pisces, man.
Hello, somebody. Hello. But, like, you know, you can even tell from, like, the way he's individuality to, like, the highest power, you know, from the things he says, from the way he wants, the way he represents himself, right? More so, like, he speaks to his songs are just in Spanish, and if you know his songs, it's in Spanish. You know, he's not gonna change or cross over to English because to appease anybody, right? It's not like, oh, I want them to understand my music, I'm gonna do it in English. No, this is what it is, and that's what it is, you know. And
he's a great example of owning your individuality and being connected to your own juicy essence, and
all I think of it,
that's
honey,
what
juicy
we
essence is
need true. The most, because what you're talking about is a bit of a collective sickness where, again, sameness. It's almost like we're afraid to be ourselves. But if we were spending more time with ourselves and communing with ourselves and actually honoring our likes, then we would be more comfortable in just expressing that difference, right? Like, if you start chilling with yourself, and you even less than clothing, and you start matching stuff that in the real world, well, that doesn't match because that color's this and that's that. But if you feel comfortable with that clothes and that's how you feel and you own it, then that's your juice, honey. Own it. Like,
remember when I chopped my hair off? I had this. Let me tell you, I was just like, oh my God, I felt terrible because, you know, a particular person made me feel terrible about it, right? And I'm just like, oh man. And I'll look at pictures from when I first chopped my hair off, like all of it, and I'm like, dude, I'm the same person. Like, I literally just, it's still me. Only thing I changed, let's say, was the color, just because I feel like it. But I feel so like, I feel like the dopest, like, I'll go to, I feel like the dopest bomb ass bitch who ever met,
because,
like,
you are boo, you but are the dopest bomb, you know, ass bitch, like, and you owning it.
I really be telling people, let me tell you, it's a joke, but I'll be like, look, I got no hair, no titties, no ass, and I'm up in here, like, hello.
Well, you a bright fucking star, let me tell
you. You're gonna remember
you
this, right?
You a bright fucking star.
Hello, right? But then I go back, right? Because I'm like, what has really changed, right? And it's not so much that I ever wanted to look like somebody else, right? Because I don't, this is me. But it's because for me, I was looking at the acceptance or the approval of other people, right? Like, oh, if I cut my hair, do you like it? If you didn't like it, then I didn't like it, or I didn't feel okay, right? And I mean, on one hand, we do look for the acceptance and the approval of people, right? Because that's like a natural human desire, just acceptance, right?
Of course, we want to be liked, we want to be part of the pack, the tribe, we want to be accepted for sure.
But that's how, you know, that reminds me of, like, you know, you say it, we just got to find our people, right? We're not going to be for everybody. We're never going to be for anybody, but I'm just like, I'm so happy with my tribe, with my people, because it's not so much about they tell you what you want to hear, right? It's not about that. My people are not about, you're my people because you tell me what I want to hear. But there's an uplifting, there's an encouragement, right? And there's an honesty and a realness with the people, or the people that we find, right? Because yes. It's like, how do I feel when I'm with such and such, right? Like with my partner, right? Let's talk about him real quick, right? He doesn't always tell me what I want to hear, right? Or it's not always something that I may not like it, right? But it's the communication, it's the way, it's the spirit that it comes out, right? It's gonna be like, I can maybe do something real, probably didn't do the best thing. But the way he communicates it, I'm kind of like, oh, you know what? Yeah, you're right. And put you in your place with so much respect that you're kind of just like, man, okay, right? So that's how I feel like when we find our people, it's not just about finding these yes people, right? Yes, yeah. Yes. No. Our people are going to tell us no, right? They're going to say no. And they're going to say a no with a respect and a love that we need. Because
yes,
right, you know what I'm saying,
and your people are the people that feel like warmth, that feel like love, and that give you a safe space for your soul to be your soul. And that's important too. Like, it's important when you're in this journey of like expressing your soul truth and discovering your soul voice and being exactly the flavor that you're meant to be in this life. It helps to be in a kitchen with other ingredients that enable that. Okay.
Yes.
Like, you can't be trying to be paprika here in a kitchen that don't even use paprika.
Like, you cinnamon, honey.
Oh, I'm cinnamon, baby. I'm cinnamon and nutmeg all the way.
All day.
I hang out with people that love to consume cinnamon and nutmeg. I'm like, here I am, baby. Consume me.
Hello, honey, right?
But yeah, don't you be chilling in a kitchen that don't like your flavor, because
and that's okay. You don't go with that. You don't go with that entree. You don't go with that food.
Exactly. You don't go with that. You're not for everybody.
And you know, to start closing, why do you think that, and I want to say specifically in the last couple years, right? I mean, I know some people, I'm tired of hearing about this freaking pandemic, right? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Yeah. But it's important for us to reflect on the last couple of years, right? And not so much on the sickness or any of that, but like you said, the soul, right? The soul part of it, the spiritual part of it. Why, or maybe I'm wrong, do you feel like so many people, or a lot of people, have felt like they've cut people off, like people are learning who's who in their lives?
Yes.
And why? Why? I mean, aside from finding out who they, like, who are you? Who am I? This is what I like. This is what I don't like. Why do you think so many people have figured out or decided to be like, you know what? These people aren't serving me. I'm cutting people off. Or they started fresh or start new. Or now they're by themselves and they need a new group of people. Because we all need a group of people. We that's part of life. We are human experiences, right? But why do you think so many people have been going through that? So many people I know have, like, I used to have friends for 10, 15 years and now I'm not friends with them.
Girl, you know what? It's a combination of things, honestly. Again, if we look back at life prior to 2020, I think that collectively we were living very fast. Do this, go here, do this. It's just, it was like a very fast motion life, which didn't give us the space to really look at shit for what they are. in comes the collective pandemic. We're seeing all the uprisings. We're seeing what's happening here. We're experiencing death. We're going through collective grief. We're losing jobs. We're losing money. We're stripped to the bare minimum, to our nudity, to our naked body. And in that naked space, whether we were comfortable in our nudity or whether it was something like, damn, like life feels bare right now. I fucking hate this. Right. Regardless of where you were, it still ignited something in us that craved more truth, that craved more rawness, that craved, you know, less bullshit, right? So just imagine us collectively naked in our bodies, or even individually, giving us the opportunity to slow down enough to really ask ourselves, how do I really want to be living? What do I want to keep doing with my life? How do I want to be as a person? And then for some reason, because we were all going through it collectively, it wasn't an individual thing, because we were all going through it collectively, something was ignited to inspire us to take a little bit more ownership for how we're dressing our lives, meaning what company we're keeping through, what we're eating, how we're treating our bodies, like all of these things. So now I feel like people are craving the real shit, man. We're moving into a season where it's not so much about what you know and how you have to teach people. Right now, it's like bullshit detectors on full blast.
Right.
You'll be able to know. Like, you know, if somebody wants to work with me, for example, I don't have to convince them of myself. They'll know because of how I'm owning my energy if they want to be in my juice or not. I don't have to be like, drink my juice. It's so good for you.
Yeah, let me show you who I am. Like, here's my resume.
People are gonna resonate. They're gonna be like, yo, I wanna sit on the table with her. I don't know why, but my energy feels good, because we're not more in tune with that. And relationships are important, man. Why are we gonna be around people that don't encourage us, that don't support us, that don't elevate us, that don't want to be a shine?
Why? What do you have to say about the people that are, they're loners?
Listen, it's all good if you're a loner. I mean, listen, I'm a loner.
You're a gypsy. Like, you find friends anywhere.
But I'm both, right? Like, I can be real. I'm quite the hermit, not only as a Virgo, but even like speaking of my other mechanics and energetics, like I love my hermit time. I love my me time. I love, like, I could be without people for a long time, but I also love people. I love connecting. So it just, we go through seasons, you know? So even if you're a loner and you say, I don't need people, the truth is we do. We do. We're not, as humans, we crave social connection.
Right.
And even if you have one other person that's your friend, or two people, damn, make sure they're the best two people that you feel so good, so you, so safe to be around, that they encourage the best of you, that just by the way that they carry themselves, without even saying a word, it kind of challenges you to carry yourself in the same way, with a bit more, you know, pride in your chest of like, yo, I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be here. Like, this person makes me want to, you know, feel good. So I feel honestly that's why it is. It's a collection of different things. And right now we're all rebirthing in our different ways. We're all kind of reemerging from the dark. And we want the real thing. We want substance. Yes. We want substance. We don't want no microwavable fucking food or connection. We don't want no fast food experiences. We are craving substance. We want the real. Give it to us, like, dark,
give it to soil, me, baby.
Dámelo, you know, like, dame esa comida, like that. You want to be fed. You know, when you sit down at a table to eat and you've been hungry for a long time, and it's a tía cooking or it's an auntie cooking, you know you're about to eat good. You want to do that. We done with getting the side order of fries for fucking food. I'm talking about soul food.
Yes.
Sometimes them fries be hitting. But when we're talking about the soul level,
yes.
So I don't think we're in the season of like, oh yeah, I'll just take a side order of fries and that's my food. Nah, we want nurture, baby. Give me the salad. Give me the warmth. Give me the sazones. Like,
give me the sancocho.
Dame el sancocho, mi amor. You know, dab it up. You know, we're just there. So honestly, for anyone hearing, you know, just honor where you are in your journey. Give yourself what you're needing and start communing with yourself. You are beautiful. You are magnificent. There is no flavor in this world like your flavor. And right now, we cooking and we need all the flavors to be ready in the kitchen.
Yes. Yes. Eliana, I love you so much. I love you, boo. Let me tell you, from the other side of the world, wherever you are, I love you so much. And I'm so grateful for having you as my first. Again, you're my second time.
Yeah, baby.
first, second time guest. I'm so appreciative of you. Please let the people know where they can find you.
Yes.
Maybe what services you provide. What do you have for the world? The Soul Mommy.
First of all,
give us a quick 30-second overview before we go.
Yes. Oh, I love how we said that at 44. Yeah, numerology. Yes. Definitely, if you're not connected with me on Instagram, go follow me at The Soul Mommy, just like that. And anyone who's connected with me on Instagram, I consider y'all soul cousins, all right? So you're all my soul cousins. And I'm pretty much, as you know, I'm rebirthing as well. So please be on the lookout. This month, I'm opening up 4 slots for those individuals that want to work with me 2 to 3 months, one-on-one. This is the prime juice, honey. This is, you get all of me, my prayers, encouragement, and I support you. This is for the people that need support in becoming themselves again and reconnecting with their spirit and discovering their soul voice and in creating whatever it is that they're wanting to create, whether it's a business, whether it's a new self. You know, I support you through that journey. So that's what I have going on this month. On the 22nd of this month, I will be having a community soul shop. It's my versions of workshops, and that's virtual. So just connect with me on IG and be on the lookout for these events and all the juicy things that are going to be happening this year. But I'm here to support you in your soul journey, your soul process, your soul evolution, because I get turned on when I see other people turned on.
Yes!
On purpose, turned on to their love, living their color, living their flavor. Like, honey, I'm here to spark that.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. For all the listeners, I'm going to have all of Eliana's information in the description below. You can share this episode, share it everywhere.
And tag us.
Yes, share, tag, all of that good stuff. Thank you so much for listening, all you wonderful listeners. Catch me next week.
Yes.
And if you love Eliana, just send me a voice message. Send a comment.
DM me, honey.
Yes. And I hope you guys have a wonderful, amazing week. And I'll catch you next time. God bless. Take care. And go be you.
Be you. Be you.
Bye, guys.
Bye, loves. Bye.